Welcome to the Felix Umbridge Show.
Okay, so we're live. This is, oh, wait. We're talking to a click track.
There we go.
We have to be in tempo.
Yes, we are. So, today we're going to do the entire show in tempo.
Tempo.
So we're live. Are we live?
We are live.
We are live.
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 And we have Corona.
Ooh.
Beer.
Beer. Look at me. I've got Corona beer. So what are we drinking Coronas today?
Yes.
Sweet. So, gas station I held up to get these didn't have limes, so we are drinking limeless Coronas.
Did you just say the gas station you held up?
Yeah, well, I was wearing a mask, so
oh yeah.
Might have, well, there was a time when they discourage you walking into banks with a mask,
with
on
a mask,
and
yeah.
now
they won't let you in without one.
Exactly. So hey, here we are, 2020. So we are this is the Felix Umbridge Show.
Yes,
welcome everybody to the Felix Umbridge Show.
Now if you noticed, we are two voices. Felix is one person,
right?
Which means that the poor guy just
couldn't make it.
He is the most absentee host I've ever met.
He's like Johnny Carson. No, Felix couldn't make it today. As you know, the Felix Umbridge Show has expanded into a global empire. We have a huge business offices now, and they're all decorated and stuff, but it has become such a huge phenomenon that Felix has had to hire a manager, a top manager, a number two, basically, to kind of oversee the day-to-day operations and help with everything.
And he never told me.
No. So he's been interviewing people, and, you know, it's tough. It's a very important position to have a number two. He's decided in the last day or two to throw away qualifications. Just, I don't need qualifications. It's irrelevant.
No qualifications whatsoever.
So what he wants to do is he has gotten to the paint store, and he has picked up a series of paint chips. And he is going to match the skin color of the applicants to the paint chips so he can find one that most complements the drapes and general decor of the office. Because he figures optics is the most important factor in picking a number two. Nothing else matters. Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful thing. So
that's fantastic.
So he's so busy with that, he couldn't be here.
He's lost in Home Depot or Lowe's or one of those home improvement places somewhere.
Sherwin-Williams. Yeah, where? Standing. So anyways, because Felix isn't here, we are filling in, and
as usual,
right, we don't have names because, as you know,
we don't deserve them.
We are the most
marginalized, hated group.
We are
in the intersectional universe.
We are lower than the dirt. We are
worms.
Yes, white old Republican men
who are straight.
Well, anyways, so what's new?
Oh, there's been some interesting stuff in the news.
Yes, yes.
In fact, there's so many different things. I think you made a list of like real quick stuff. Now, we'll preface this by saying we're simply going to put this out there that these are stories the news media should be covering but hasn't, because there seems to be this hyper focus on the subject matter we're going to get into later.
Right. And
but these are important things.
So we're just going to throw them out there.
Toss them out there. And quickly. Then it's up to you to look it up and figure it out, because we are not your nanny.
Exactly.
We are not your teacher. We are just a couple of worms with our own opinions.
Right.
And if we found it, you can too. So it's up to you to look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up.
This is a section I would like to call Rapid Fire. Dolly Parton did not support Black Lives Matters. Look it up.
There you go. Look that up.
It is not okay to allow a group in New York City to paint a large Black Lives Matter sign on the road, but not allow us to flick on the two memorial lights for 9/11. However,
They did come to their senses.
So
considering how inappropriate it was to be that hypocritical, but there's other hypocritical
things I guess we'll
get into later.
The peace deal Trump organized between Israel and the United Arab Emirates is a very big deal. And
a major deal.
It is. And it is important to the future of the Middle East and to this country's relations with those.
And was absolutely completely ignored by 90% of the media outlets out there.
Exactly. It is a major, major accomplishment. Look it up.
Look it up.
Fauci says that voting in person is now safe.
Well,
I know one pop star who's going to get canceled.
Oh, that was inconvenient.
He's done. No more throwing out the first pitch for that asshole.
Yep, I think his 15 minutes just timed out.
It's done. Did you hear that Hillary has offered to help in any way she could in the Biden presidency? Go the fuck away. She's like herpes. She just won't go away. So anyways, there's some niblets. The rapid fire round, some niblets to chew on. If you think we're bullshitting you, look it up yourself. Let's get to the subject at hand.
Main subject.
What are we going to talk about today, Mister?
Well,
Worm One.
I think Worm Two. That I think there was a certain would-be presidential candidate that made a very major announcement.
And it occurred to me that in the numerous podcasts that we've done, and in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of podcasts that Felix has done, there has been very little mention of Biden up to this point, because why bother?
when you're hiding out in your basement and you hardly make an appearance.
Exactly. I mean,
and then on the few occasions you do make appearance, you gaffe so bad that becomes the story.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you know, we've just kind of danced around them. You know, this is going to be a Corona-free episode, except for the ones we're drinking.
Time for Corona.
Yummy. Let me open this baby up.
In this episode, we have Corona.
We have Corona.
There it is. Fine libation. And the clink.
There it is. Yummy.
I never thought having Corona would be so good.
Mmm. It's both cool and refreshing. Joe Biden. He is going to be the Democrat nominee for the president of the United States. He will run for president. Should he win the presidency? I don't know that he would be able to fulfill.
He won't.
A term.
No.
Because I truly believe the man has dementia.
There's no doubt. In fact, it's no hidden secret that he has dementia. There is nobody out there that can, with a straight face, say that this man has the kinds of cognitive awareness and ability to basically sit in the world's most powerful position.
People are going to hear that, and they're going to call you a dog-faced pony soldier.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
What the hell? What the hell is a dog-faced pony soldier?
They'd be absolutely wrong. I'm not a pony soldier.
Neither am I. Now, I think Biden's time was 4 years ago, 2016. He was coming off of a two-term vice presidential run, and that's when you run for president.
Right.
But he allowed himself to be pushed aside by the Clinton machine, which tells me the man is
weak
because it was his. It was not hers. And that tells me a lot about the character of the man right there.
Oh, yeah. They used to use the term taking all the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah,
that's what she did. And he was too weak to put his foot down and say, hey, so what in the world makes us think that at this point in time he can do anything even close to that?
Yeah. So when Clinton wanted it, Clinton got it, and he got shoved aside or willingly stepped aside. But either way,
weakness.
It's an indication of the character of the individual. I believe that the Democrats in this election did what we did during when we ran Bob Dole.
Bob Dole.
Yeah, yeah. We just, it's like, all right, it's his turn. Let's take the old guy. For real, I think it was like 1977 was the first time Biden tried to run for president. He's been holding elective office for 47 years. Half a century.
Half
a freaking century. You know, it is like, or now I want to be the, what is that I'm doing? that president thing. You know, it's like, holy shit. 4 years ago would have been his time.
Mm-hmm.
Not now. Man's, mm-mm. He's got dementia. But I think they groomed him, I hate to say it, as a throwaway candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said before, there's no one with a straight face that can honestly say this man has truly the cognitive ability and the decision-making power and the energy to be president of the United States. I've seen side-by-side comparisons of his ability to engage with the public, to engage with the press, to be able to speak cohesively, to be able to put ideas together. Whether I agreed with him or not, he could actually be witty. He could be concise.
Mm-hmm.
Even four years ago, he could be. 8 years ago or whenever.
Not now.
Compared to now, it's scary levels of worry when it comes to his ability to do any of that. So two theories here. One is they're doing that to purposefully usher in the candidate or a person that they would really like to have.
Mm-hmm.
Or they do have a throwaway guy to say, we're not going to worry about this next 4 years. We're going to worry about 2024.
Yeah, and that's my thinking. But I think Andrew Cuomo is the man that wants to run in 2024.
And I'll bet that he is hoping on hope that people in their typical short-term memory loss are not going to remember things like his executive order to put COVID positive patients into
old age
all home. Of the, yeah. Oops. Resulting in over 6,000 unnecessary deaths.
Talk about that.
Yeah, not allowed to.
That'll all be forgotten in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be hailed as the Corona victor.
Well,
speaking of Corona, yummy.
Time to put more Corona in us there. So then let's have some fun at Joe Biden's expense and his new Veep choice.
He picked a vice president. He started off by saying, I want to pick a black woman.
Well, I was going to go there. Now,
because, you know, the melanin in your skin is more important than the qualifications in your background. Just saying. But I believe that Biden was just as surprised as any of us to learn who he selected.
There's been a lot of criticism about how her name is actually pronounced.
Now, it seems like the two most popular ways to say her name is either Kamala,
like,
or
camel,
Kamala,
or
like,
Kamala.
Kamala, right.
Kamala.
Right.
So there's Kamala,
like camel, or chameleon.
Okay.
Right.
Which is fitting and apropos. Right. We'll go into that in a minute.
And that's how Tucker Carlson the other day, he pronounced her name as Kamala, and I guess he was really dressed down. And then like the next day, Biden was speaking of her, and he also pronounced her name Kamala.
In the very same speech, he pronounced her name Kamala, and then 4 minutes later, repronounced her name Kamala.
Kamala, right.
So he actually did both pronunciations. Right.
And so the second pronunciation is Kamala. Like
Kamala. I don't know. Communism?
Comrade.
Communism. Comrade.
Communism. Comrade.
Communism.
Commie. It's Kamala. So it's Kamala like Kami, not Kamala like Camellia.
So here's how you remember. It's okay. Yes, Kamala like communism. Like
communism. Got
because
it.
Because it's very fitting. It actually moves very well. And right. It's both applicable and easy to remember. It's a very good pneumatic device.
Right.
That's perfect. Everybody has little short nicknames for things.
Right.
David would be Dave or Davey, or
right.
William would be Will or Willie or Bill.
Right. Right.
Well, Kamala will be Kami. Kami Harris.
Kami Harris. Oh, that's got a nice roll to
it. Isn't that great?
Kami Harris.
Kami.
Yeah. Kami Harris. It's a nice.
It's a good little, good nip.
I like it.
Kami.
I'm in.
Kami Harris.
Kami Harris. So Kami Harris becomes the vice president. Well, nominee. then
I wanted to get back to the main point you were making about Joe Biden's Veep selection,
right? So he had he had to pick a black woman.
Okay, so let me back that up. Let me expand on that a little bit. Because I had a friend from Facebook that had a post, and I'm not going to read it word for word, but what I am going to say is. This gentleman, his day job is he is a recruiter, which means that he goes out into the work marketplace, if you will, finds people qualified for companies looking for good hires.
Right.
He says, as a recruiter, if he excluded applicants based on any protected class, that he would instantly be fired and the company that he's recruiting for could potentially be sued.
Wow.
So based on that and following through with that line of thought, the idea of Biden's selection based on how his selection is going is a direct violation of employment law. Now, we're not stating we're not stating anything based on whether or not Kamala Harris is qualified or not. We are saying that what he is looking for is a government job.
Okay.
And the next person he hires is the vice president. The vice president is not elected. It's part of a ticket, but it's part of a hire.
Well, let's see.
The problem is that he actually said the job of vice president is still subject to the EEOC regulations. And this was researched by this job recruiter.
Okay.
So it's subject to the EEOC.
Wow.
All right. Which means you have to have specific hiring practices.
Which means you have to put qualifications before optics.
Now, here's the issue. We can speculate whether or not his choice was based on that entirely, but we don't have to speculate because here's his exact quote.
And I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president.
I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. He said that during the Democratic debate.
Right.
He followed through on that promise.
Right.
Which by very definition means he's excluding all other candidates based on gender.
Right.
And or if race. He mentioned black woman, race as well.
Right. You had Maxine Waters up there saying, if he doesn't pick a black woman, there's going to be hell to pay. You know?
So I ask you this. If they start saying those kinds of things, who are the real racists? I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, the left has absolutely zero ground in ever, ever using race and calling people racism. Ever. And I say ever like capital letters, size 48 font.
Big box.
Ever.
Right.
Because everything that they talk about with regard to racism or everything that the groups that they are supporting, like Antifa or Black Lives Matter, any of that, talking about racism. They cannot do that without appearing absolutely hypocritical. And I can explain this as I go down this rabbit hole a little more. The KKK, established by the Democrat Party.
We're not supposed to talk about
it. We don't talk about it. But wait, I thought the KKK were all Republicans.
Yeah.
No.
No.
If we're talking about Donald Trump being a racist, then maybe we ought to talk about Joe Biden speaking favorably at one John K. Byrd's funeral, speaking wonderful accolades about him, who, by the way, was a grand wizard in the KKK.
Shh, we're not supposed to talk about that.
Then they completely ignore the fact that Joe Biden on two separate occasions recently said things, and I quote,
"You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black."
And on a second occasion, he said,
"What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things."
Unlike the black community, the Latino community is very diverse.
Within the last few years.
In other words, the things that he says are specifically focused on race.
Race, exactly.
And yet that isn't racism?
No, that's supposed to be enlightened.
So
it's supposed to be enlightened and inclusive. Somehow that's been twisted to be what inclusion is. And, you know, I agree with you. The left, we said this four podcasts ago, the left is racist.
Yes, absolutely. So I will never accept the left or any Democrats throwing the racist epithet at myself, you, Worm 2, anybody who is more of a conservative, even center right leaning political side.
We grew up with an education that emphasized do not see color. You know, it all stemmed, I believe, from the teachings and the philosophies of Martin Luther King. Content of the character, not the color of the skin, you know. And I pride myself on a person that embraces that philosophy as gospel truth. I do not see skin color any more than I see eye color or hair color. I see the individual for who he is as a fellow human being. Some are good and some are bad. Mm-hmm. But the melanin in their skin or the color of their hair or the color of their eyes has zero relevance to my judgment of that individual. And when I keep getting it thrown in my face from a left perspective that I now have to see color. And it's
that's the problem.
And that is the primary factor. And in fact, the presidential candidate is going to select I have to pick a black woman. Why?
That is racist and misogynist.
Right. Maybe the statement should be from a presidential candidate, I am going to select the most qualified person to replace me in the event that I cannot fulfill my term. And I will consider every human being as a possible candidate until I find the perfect one. And that person could be anybody, which also includes all black women. I don't know yet. I need to find the most qualified person.
Now, if he said that and still selected
Kamala Harris,
right, then we could sit here and speculate whether his real intentions were that it had to be a black woman or not, based on just the culture of the left in general, the culture of the Democrats in general. And as much as we could speculate on that, we could never fully nail down whether that was the truth. What's interesting is the left loves to do that to us. They love to say that if we make a statement, it can be inferred that this is the way we were thinking, as if they could read our thoughts and our minds and our intentions and our hearts.
You intended that now, to be racist.
Where is the fairness in them doing that and yet us not being able to reciprocate?
Right. We can't spin that right back on them and say, wow, you know, I heard you say specifically, what if Donald Trump said, I'm going to select a white man to be my vice president. I'm going to select the best white man I can find.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump had said that? Now, he happens to have a white man as vice president, but you know what? I truly believe he selected him because Donald Trump found that particular individual to be most qualified for the position and for the needs of Donald Trump at the time that he selected him.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joe Biden didn't even make the selection of Kamala Harris. I think it was selected for him, just like he was selected.
Because right. they needed the race right. and gender exactly. optics, which is specifically and directly, definitionally racist mm-hmm. right. and misogynist.
You know, and what they pick is Kamala Harris. Now, I don't want to speculate whether she's actually black. I mean, I know her father is British Jamaican, which means mm-hmm. he's British.
Yes.
With a Jamaican background.
Yes.
And her mother is Indian. Right. And so she identifies as black, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Identify. Now let's kind of split that up a little bit. Right. We're talking about identifying as a black as opposed to identifying as an African-American
with a history that can be dated back to slavery.
Well, which is interesting. Now, it could be that there were slave ships bringing African Americans to the Jamaican Islands that were slaves at the time.
Right.
That argument possibly could be made.
But I believe.
However.
I think Kamala Harris's family actually has.
Yes, I know where you're going.
I believe they were slave owners.
Yes. Right. There you go. Right. And there is the dirty little secret.
Oopsie. No, for real. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a worm.
We're just worms.
I'm a worm.
Imagine how you would feel for a fan of the Patriots,
okay.
say if you are a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
I think those two teams are huge. But, or okay, for Arizonans, it would be the Arizona Cardinals,
right.
whose arch nemesis in the Football League is the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
Now, notwithstanding Seattle and all the horse crap that goes with there.
What?
Let's set that aside. Right. We associate.
Wait, is there something going on in Seattle? I missed. I'm kidding. So we associate.
We associate with our teams. We associate in groups because we like to have that group commonality. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we like to think that we're mature enough that as a Arizona Cardinals fan, we aren't going to sit there and beat up and hurt a Seattle Seahawks fan.
No, of course not.
Now, this is what the left wants us to do.
Uh-huh.
They want us to balkanize, associate with our right. identities with a group. Not right. that we are a part of a group because we like to have a common culture. This is where the word community comes from. Right. Having things in common, a common area, mm-hmm. a common zone, a common outlook.
Right.
But associating that in the sense where you balkanize that and that if you are of this group, then everyone not of this group is the enemy.
Well, there's a word for that. And I've heard this word a lot lately, and it's tribalism. I would say, in all fairness, in all balance here, that there is also tribalism on the right. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate because we do all live, both the Democrats and the Republicans all live in the same country. And as I said in earlier podcasts, I believe that we all have the same, generally, until you factor in the screaming brat, like radical left. Mm-hmm. But I think that common sense, approachable Democrats and the common sense approachable Republicans, there's very little difference between us.
Well,
it comes down to semantics of leaning towards governmental control or socialism type programs or mm-hmm. allowing free market and capitalism to accomplish the concerns and the objectives of the whole. But outside of that, you've got these groups that have come in and they've instituted a tribalism. They brought in this emotional tribalism and you're with us. I hate to say it because this is a Bush thing,
yeah.
or you are all against us. There is no middle ground. You're either with us or you're against us.
Well, look at it this way. If you have two football teams and you have the competition between the teams and the fans of the teams,
like the Cardinals and the Seahawks, Right.
If your whole identity is wrapped up in being a Cardinals fan,
right.
then yes, you have a tough time associating with someone whose whole identity is wrapped up in being a Cardinal.
Right.
Forgetting that both of you like football. One more thing that we need to mention.
What's that?
There was a young boy, 5 years old, by the name of Cannon Hinnant, who was horribly executed, shot point blank in the head while riding his bicycle.
Unbelievable.
By a next door neighbor.
Yeah.
What makes this significantly not paid attention to is that it was a very angry black man that executed a young 5 year old white boy.
Wow.
And again, it makes it sound like I'm making it racial. Mm-mm. It makes it sound like I'm putting a bend on it or some kind of twist on it. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I'm doing that is because if it were other way around, and it was an angry white man executing a 5 year old little boy on his bike.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Then there would be hellfire in the media about it, regardless of whether or not it was fully racially motivated or not. And just the fact that someone an adult would execute a little boy like that for nothing.
Murder is murder. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a white cop choking some guy out with your knee or you're a black man that assassinates a five-year-old boy. That's still murder.
Assassinated because he went out, shot the kid, went back into his house and just sat there and waited for the cops.
Yeah, that's an assassination.
It was a straight-up assassination.
Murder is murder.
In front of the boy's two older sisters, 7 and 8 years old.
You know, color is irrelevant. Murder is murder.
True.
All lives matter.
1, 2, 3, 4.
What the fuck? There's another story with regard to Chicago's circle zone, round. Has to do with the train station creating a circle. It's an upper area in Chicago that...
Circle K? Circle Soleil.
In Chicago. Mm-hmm. Huge riots. Actually, it wasn't so much riots as it was riots and looting, which a lot of the news media outlets are trying to say was spontaneous.
Right.
I wonder how something is spontaneous when people are pulling up with U-Hauls and backing up into stores to take stuff.
Strange. Odd.
Now, the other interesting thing is that this was all perpetrated.
Perplexing.
Based on one of those games of telephone. Where a message starts at one end, and by the time it gets to the other end, it's a different story.
So what was the original story, and what did it wind up?
The truth was that there was a armed robbery, and the suspect who was armed and who fit the description of the perpetrator, as reported, was being chased down an alley, and as he was being chased down the alley, decided to fire on the cops, who returned fire. At the time, I don't know that he was killed, but he was definitely critically injured. He was 19 or 20. Then the story began funneling through social media and through some of these Black Lives Matter and Antifa groups that the police had shot a kid in an alleyway.
Right. Well,
a child is the way they put it.
When you're...
And then based on that, with no facts, with no understanding of what was going on. Mm-hmm. In fact, at one, and there were some Twitter feeds out there that were saying that the kid was unarmed.
When
he actually fired on the cops first, was armed, fired on the cops.
But
and now the cops gunned down another
kid,
another unarmed young black kid. So let's juxtapose that story against the one that I said earlier.
Right.
And the one that I said earlier is a horrible, tragic story that is barely capturing the chagrin of the American people.
Right.
This other story became this game of telephone that evolved into the horrible cops murdered an unarmed child in an alleyway,
right,
which then sparked off a whole round of riots and looting in the central Chicago upper elite area. People breaking into, trying to get Teslas and trying to get Omega watches and trying to get, and so this was the way that they expressed their anger, was this planned riotous looting,
right? Smashing
based on a lie.
And
automatically thinking everything was racially motivated, right, and having the wrong story. And this is what happens.
You're right.
People backing up in U-Hauls to take shit away. People saying, I got my stuff. There's even people on their phones live on social media. One chick walking through the mall with her phone as alarms are going off everywhere and merchandise is everywhere. She runs across a whole thing of pants that were, I don't know, Guess jeans or some brand. She goes, oh no, I don't like that crap. I'm going for the good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Take what they want. And
yeah.
Insurance will cover it. What the fuck is wrong with people?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean,
so part of the, what the fuck with what you're saying, Black Lives Matter leader, one of the organizers and leaders, actually was out loud in the middle of the town with a bunch of people listening saying, no, this is fine. This is our reparations. She was justifying it, saying these are our reparation.
For real.
What the fuck?
Just two things are going on right now, or two things I heard about that are like, whoa. And the first is that people are smashing and grabbing and looting indiscriminately because they said, well, the stores have insurance and we're taking what's ours because they'll easily be able to replace it because they're privileged because they have the insurance to cover the loss. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yes.
And then also angry Black Lives Matter people now are rolling up into like residential neighborhoods and using megaphones and shouting, leave your home. We're going to take it because it's our home.
Go ahead. Come up on my property. Yeah, try to get through that front door.
Go ahead. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck's that?
What all the about? Fuck?
It's 195 degrees today.
It's hotter than Satan's butthole in a fart festival.
It is hot. So we have broken all kinds of, oh, I'm trying to twist it off, and I think I just ripped all the skin off the palm of my hand.
Oh, you did twist it off, except you twisted the skin off your knuckles.
Howie. Wow, it's been fucking hot, huh? I mean, it's...
Oh, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah, so this is my thing. Well, first of all, cheers to you.
Yep.
As we tip back another ice cold.
As we dump more Corona into our bodies.
Oh, so much Corona.
No mask. We are unprotected from this Corona.
No, I... Oh, Corona.
We are putting it directly into our face holes.
I wanted to mention this heat because so we live in Arizona. Mm-hmm. We have broken like every record there is to break at this point. I mean, it's like the number of days over 115 degrees, the number of days over 110 degrees, number of consecutive days over 110, the number of days where it's never gotten below 90 in a 24-hour cycle in a contiguous row or also in a year.
Wow.
Yeah, right now we've broken all the records. So you know what, people? You know, I know a lot of you are fleeing from New York and California to come here, you know, but it's too hot. You don't want to be here. Go away. Keep your politics over there. Stay over there. We don't want you.
You know those commercials.
Who would have thought you come here, you're going to die. It's so fucking hot. You're going to die. You're going to die. Do not want to be here. And Corona, goddamn, it's everywhere. I had a friend in New York because... I snuck into New York about a month ago. But when I was in New York, I ran into a friend, and he had been watching the news about Corona in Arizona. And he was like, you know, I've been thinking about moving to Phoenix to get away from the tax. Now, this guy is a big liberal friend of mine.
Yep.
Big freaking libtard. But he's still a friend because we have common... commonalities in our, you know, that go beyond our politics. But he wants to move here, but so many people from New York and California are moving here and bring in their libtard
and
politics
Texas
with them and Texas. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, but he's like, so I understand that the corona is really, really bad in Phoenix. So I'm like, hell yeah.
Drop them like flies.
Bodies in the streets. As you know, they've got to dig these big giant pits out in the desert, and they're using bulldozers to push all the bodies in. I said, and then they burn them with gasoline, and you can see the flames from miles around, you know. So you want to stay here in New York where it's safe. You don't want to. You're good here. Stay here. Or expensive. Holy shit. You can't afford nothing in Arizona.
Hey, I know you can't afford to live in New York, but you know what? You cannot afford to die in Arizona.
No. And out here, the scorpions are 10 feet tall. So stay in New York. Don't come to Arizona.
It's the most dangerous area in the country.
Die.
It's horrible.
You'll die. It's corona scorpions. Nope.
No part of it.
Oh, we'd love to have you. Well, we don't want you to die.
Great to visit, but you wouldn't want to live here.
You don't want to live here. Today, it's 178 degrees out.
That's right.
Yep.
Satan farts colder than here.
I'm wondering if maybe this week, maybe you might have a joke for me.
I do have a joke.
I got one.
I think I'm going to die.
It's a stolen joke. Holy Thankfully, shit. I remembered it when I heard it.
The best jokes are still. What's your joke?
Okay.
Lay it on me.
So, there was a boy who wanted a bike more than anything in the world. And good Christian boy from a good Christian family. And his mother had told him that and when he was in church on Sundays, he'd always been told that prayer is the gateway to everything you want. So he went to church, and he heard the pastor speak and decided to go home. And that night prayed, "Dear Lord, I really, really desperately would like a bike. All praise to you. I know that thinking that we ask of you and we shall receive, as your word says. So I very much would like a 20-inch blue bicycle with red streamers by 5:30 tomorrow morning. Amen." Went to bed. Woke up the next morning, 5:30. No bike, no streamers. So he complains to his mother. I don't think this prayer thing's working. Well, you need to really be strong in your prayer, something that will motivate Jesus. Give you that. So he thinks for a minute, and as she observes him, he decides that he's going to run over, and he sees, you know, in the back, statue of Mary, mother of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Takes that statue, tucks it under his coat, and his mother observes him running off out into the woods. Thought, putting up a shrine? Later that night, he comes back, and she sees him praying. She says, "Lord Jesus, I've tried to appeal to you for that blue bike that I so very much want. And as my prayers go unanswered up till now, if you ever want to see your mother again, you will give me that bike in the morning."
Like that. That's good. Oh man.
So yeah, good joke.
That is a good joke. Mine's a little more basic. A young man, a young woman are on a date, and the young woman's like, "You know, when I finish college, I want my career to be something where I do a lot of work with animals." And the guy goes, "Oh, the job I have that's all I do. I work with animals all day." She goes, "Oh my, that's wonderful." She goes, "What do you do?" He goes, "I'm a butcher." I was going to bring a COVID-19, a corona joke, but I knew 99% of the people out there wouldn't get it. That's all I got.
Well, we got them right here.
We got them.
And we're filling ourselves with them.
Yummy.
Dumping them on down. Just fill yourselves with Corona. Mm-hmm. But just make sure it's the kind that comes out of a glass bottle, amber-colored, and tastes like cerveza. Masfina. Which I'm taking those words exactly off the bottle.
I believe that these were made in Mexico and not in China. Do you have any closing thoughts, sir?
Epstein didn't kill himself?
That's what I'm thinking.
You know.
My final thoughts, as always, we're just two grumpy old fucks sitting here shooting the shit.
That's right.
You know, and we say stuff, and we don't do a lot of research, but this is what we think about it. We're hoping what we say makes you think and look it up.
That's
research
right.
it. And don't just rely on NPR and CNN, but also don't just rely on Fox News. No. Frickin' be a critical thinker. Look shit up.
Think for yourself.
Think for yourself. Always question the narrative. Why are they reporting it the way they're reporting it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just be a critical thinker. Look shit up.
You know, when I follow stories, whether they're reported by more conservative-leaning reporting sources mm-hmm. or more liberal reporting sources. And believe me, I do look at both, and yeah. I do that on purpose because I always want to challenge my own beliefs mm-hmm. that am I coming from a place of understanding not only what I believe and whether or not it's factual and suits my view of the world, but why I believe it and understanding the deeper meanings behind that.
Right.
So I'm looking at both and I'm always wanting to be challenged. In doing that, I will find these news reporting that's going on. And then whatever sources they cite, I go look at the sources.
Yeah.
Because what's just as important as the story itself is the context by which it has been either correctly or incorrectly stated.
Right. Absolutely. Well, amen to that, brother.
Amen. That'll wrap it up.
That's it. Boom. Oh, the Coronas. Oh, so tasty.
Mm-hmm. They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Corona made me make me feel good.
So Corona.
That's good.
It's hotter than Satan's butthole
hotter.
In a fart festival.